Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
Hey everybody, my name is Chesco and I'm here to say I like podcasting in a major way. We got Reagan hating on the man and Chesco trying to get picked again. Boop boop doo 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 doo. Take it, Reagan.
What? How long have you had that?
That was my amazing freestyle rapping skills. Today's show is sponsored by the concept of cats.
Thoughts and ideas.
Whatever you think of when you imagine cats, that's who's sponsoring us today.
Wonderful. Jesco. I can't keep together. I'm literally crying.
Do you need me to drop a beat for you to do your rap?
I will not be rapping. I'm not allowed. No. Oh, not that. In what rap do people go?
Listen, if you did not listen to rap in the 80s, then you don't know what I'm talking about.
I was not alive, so.
To be fair, it was also not terrible when they did it. So
yeah, it wasn't that.
It's hard to get, you know, I'm making fun. Like me trying to do this funny is, let's just move. Hey, welcome to the podcast. With Reagan and Chesco.
This is why I have to start.
I've been here the whole time. Sam Reich.
What? What are you talking about?
Dropout? Sponsored by Drop. No, we're not. Dropout, I love you. We're sponsors of the free membership to your channel on YouTube.
Chesco, are you having a mental breakdown?
Yeah,
what is this?
We didn't do a pre-show today. I didn't have a chance to get this out of my system. Normally, that's where this all comes out.
Friends.
And then we get to the show and we're like, business, business, business.
Business, business, business. Chesco had a prior engagement, so we are doing the pre-show at a different time, or no pre-show, TBD. And so we're just starting with the chaos and the craziness. So,
speaking of which, they said I might have to get my wisdom teeth out.
Oh!
Don't want that.
I swelled up like a pumpkin. Mm-hmm. I literally looked like a relative of myself. Like, I did not look like the same person. I once showed a photo of myself after getting my wisdom teeth out. And the guy I showed it to, we were all laughing. And I showed it to this guy. And he goes, I don't know why you're all laughing. Who is that?
It's so bad. I would be interested. I don't know if this is something that's wrong with me medically. I don't swell and I don't get bruises. I haven't had a bruise in like 25 years. Should I be worried? I've been hit hard enough to get a bruise. I just don't bruise.
I'm opposite. I get a bruise, like 10 bruises a day.
Same thing. My wife too. My kids, everybody bruises. I should probably have Googled this before I talk about this. Someone's going to say, hey, you need to delete that. He needs to go to a hospital now. 25 years?
Stat.
It's a miracle he's even alive right now.
Oh, God. Hey, friends. Well, full disclosure, if you sense any weirdness from this,
Reagan messed up the entire show.
Oh, my God.
She found us a clip that was clearly a sketch and didn't realize it wasn't me. Was not me.
Jesco brought a clip that I had not seen prior to recording. As we normally do, I did almost no investigating and realized it was fake.
Listen, sometimes I have trouble picking up on social cues. It felt real to me. He's a good actor.
Maybe you haven't had to deal with as many fake videos, because that one.
Yeah. Well, now that you, after you said it, it was very clearly not real. In the moment, though.
When I said, hey, this is a man pretending to be this man's wife.
And it didn't, and it wasn't until you said that that I listened to it again. I was like, oh, that's, I think that's his voice, isn't it?
Jesco is not on his investigation game. You know, I also clicked, I clicked the profile and saw that they're all skits. You know what was a dead giveaway, Jesco? The face in the icon was the face of the man that was being recorded, which usually means that's
his page.
So
he wasn't just, I don't know. I've had a real busy week. Life is hard. If you all want to see, we'll throw a clip of me not understanding humans into the Patreon pre-show.
That'll be our pre-show is this clip.
You can all laugh at Chesco not understanding reality and being fooled by a jokester. It worked on me. I said beforehand, I thought it was meant to be rage bait. I did say that.
Right.
I didn't realize why that I was missing everything else. That if you understood life, you wouldn't be fooled. But we found something else to talk about.
Yeah, we did.
We did.
So what's that? Just go.
What did I send you again? Oh.
It's this very real Jesus it made out of mac and cheese that he found. Definitely not AI.
I bought it on TikTok shop. It was amazing. I can't wait to get it.
He can't wait for his package to arrive.
Have you ever accidentally fallen for one of those before? Like one of those like scam things? Like,
yeah. Well, I have fallen for like not understanding or being lied to perhaps about the mm-hmm. size of something. Mm-hmm. Like a chair cushion that I thought was like, I have this big, like, Papasan, what are these called?
Sure. I know what you're talking about. I don't, I'm going to, that sounds right.
Whatever. And I bought a cushion and like, it comes in and it literally fits like a tiny kitchen chair. Like it was not at all accurate. I was like, damn.
I bought this like 10 years ago before I realized how much scamming was on social media, like sales and everything.
Yeah.
And it was a supposedly an Iron Man mask that was like fully automated.
Oh no.
And I was so excited about it. And what should have given away is that it was so cheap. And at the time, I was like, how are they selling this for so little? So I didn't lose a lot. I guess that's the one thankful part is I didn't lose a lot of money on this. But I was so excited about it. Weeks went by, and it finally shows up. And it was just a plastic, like, kid's mask.
Brutal.
Because I did cosplay at the time. But like, I had, like, Comic-Con and stuff. And I was so excited. I was like, this is going to be
amazing.
The greatest thing ever. I'm going to show up people and it'll be like, yeah, look how cool I am as Iron Man. No, it was literally one of those like $5 masks you buy at a Halloween store.
One of my favorite ones was like, it was this like ornate, like door dressing. Like it was like a wreath and all this stuff. And this woman bought it and she's like, oh my God, it's so cheap. And she gets it. It is a printed sheet of the door, like of the image of the thing. So she just a sheet of a door.
Wow. It's like
close. And I mean, it's not false advertising because it was
technically, it's probably written on there somewhere, may not or be real.
maybe scam.
Might be a picture. This is what it will look like. This is what it will.
It's too literal.
Look like
it will look not just what it is. Like this photo.
Yes. This has been a 35-minute intro to our podcast.
We're off the rails. We're tired, but we're here.
We are.
So, Chesco, what are we talking about today?
Setting boundaries for your partner.
Okay.
Theme song.
You want bad advice, man? I'll give it out gladly.
I got some good advice for you.
No, you don't.
Advice for you.
No, you don't.
Like, no, you don't.
Shit.
We'll listen to the video in a second. I think this video, we'll talk about it after, but it gets at it's a very common theme online where men do not understand the difference between a boundary versus just control, right? And just like, no, I'm setting a boundary. Do everything I say at all times or else punishment, right? And so let's let it roll. Let it rip.
Is this going to be like a Jonah Hill situation?
I don't – what happened with Jonah Hill again? I forgot that whole situation.
He was saying his boundaries was that his girlfriend couldn't hang out with men, couldn't serve
exactly.
with other
That's
men.
Exactly that. That's right. I forgot about that. Yeah, no, that is – this is a very, very common misconception at best – and very clear that they know it's not a boundary at most likely.
I can already tell by the image I'm not going to like this.
Do you allow your girlfriend to have girls' nights out?
Previously, yes. Currently, no. I have very clear guidelines. Number one, I'm not a regular person, so I don't have a regular relationship. So if you're a regular person with your regular-ass life and your regular relationship, you won't understand this, and I'm not expecting you to. But I'm a provider. What I mean by that is she doesn't work. She has no responsibilities besides day-to-day tasks and enjoying life. So she wanted to have a girls' night. Absolutely. Go do it. Use my card. Pay for everything. Pay for you and all your friends. The entire night's on me. Be home by this time. Yada, yada, yada. She lost track of time. She missed the curfew. Guess what? There is no more going out because everything that I do is based on trust. And if you want to disrespect me and the time that I tell you based on me trusting you to go out, don't expect it again.
What's the point of the curfew? Because that's like an arbitrary thing.
There's a couple of schools of thought. I'm a guy. And at the end of the day, I've been a player. And I know what guys do. Nothing that I have to say is about me not trusting her. It's about not putting her in a position where she's going to constantly be tried and tempted or approached, if that makes sense. I don't park my Lamborghini on the street in a shitty neighborhood. I know my Lambo can't get stolen. I know my chick can't get stolen. I'm a 23-year-old, 6'5" millionaire. Go find another one. But at the end of the day, I'm not going to park my car or let my chick be in a position where there's constant threats or danger.
If this was like red pill bingo... Mm-hmm. I've got four corners. Who is this man?
Who knows? 6'5" millionaire. Not me.
He was a D1 athlete to seven-figure earner. Oh, he's one of those.
I often have responded to videos where men will treat their partners like literal objects, but it's never quite as clearly defined as he did it in this. The fact that he used the Lamborghini... as the example, was the most clear parallel to how he views her as quite literally a something he has purchased as a toy.
And ironically, the first video on his page is, "My Lamborghini got broken into."
Is that a metaphor? You talk about getting cheated on? The entire video is just about how his girlfriend left him.
I would never get my Lamborghini broken into. Mm-hmm. Or did you, sir?
Did you?
Mm-hmm. Did you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Like the things he says here, he starts by saying, "You can do whatever you want. I'll pay for everything, whatever," which I don't buy that. I don't buy that at all. He says he's a millionaire. I'd love to see his tax return. But anyways... first, it's that. I gave her trust, and then she broke it because she didn't come back. Mm-hmm. Then the next thing he says is, no, I trust her. It's not about her. You just said you don't trust her, but now you do trust her, and it's the other men you can't trust. But she's also a car. Like, bro, no.
Well, and it's the you could tell in the beginning, he already knows what the critiques are going to be. Mm-hmm. So he's like, no. Let me explain why I'm not like the other boys. I could replace her in a second. Right, because I am a 6'5" millionaire. Look at me.
23? He's 23? Yeah. I'm like, I also love, she's like, she doesn't have any responsibilities except day-to-day tasks. I'm like, that she's responsible for? What does that mean?
Yeah, everything. Managing the house, whatever goes into that. I mean, I guess at this point they don't have kids.
I hope not. He's already given curfew to his partner. What does he need a child for?
There's a very... horrific combination of two things I hate, and that's like the ignorance of wealth, like when you like the idea that if, because you're wealthy, because you have money, you don't have to play by the same rules of everybody else. And the rules that he's choosing to ignore is basic humanity toward the person you're in a relationship with, right? It's this
confluence of two things that really, really make me upset. Just because you have a certain amount of money, and even though you're quote unquote willing to offer a life to somebody, doesn't mean you are automatically given the right to just treat them and become their. He's also like using the same terms I would use for my teenage daughter that is going out like, oh, you have to be home by this point. Here's your allowance.
Yep.
It's so weird. It's either a mommy or a daughter that some of these guys they are looking for, and like a weird combination of it in a lot of ways.
They literally want both.
Yeah.
They want mm-hmm. to have the authority of a parent with the responsibilities of the child.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't buy that this man has as much money as he says he does. I just don't. Looking at, there's just nothing that says that to me. Maybe, but
it's possible.
It's possible, but most men who make money, the type of money he's discussing and can give the life that he's saying he can, most of those men don't say that shit, right? They don't feel the need to talk in the way that he does. Like, I feel like because I looked at his page and can see that he's like, he looks like a coach bro kind of thing, like a financial bro. I'm doubting his story already.
It's also very possible he just came from money. Like, this is mommy and daddy's money.
Well, that's true.
That's
true. I think these men are a really good reminder. I actually have, once we're done talking about this, I can contribute a little bit of something to this discussion. But there is something to be said about understanding that just because men have money doesn't mean they're going to treat you right. Doesn't mean that your life gets better. It can sometimes mean they have more ways of manipulating you.
Mm-hmm.
It can mean that there's just a more substantial way of control. Mm-hmm. And that's what we see with this is like, I'll give you the life of your dreams, except you have to do whatever I want. And if you don't, I'm going to take that life away from you. Mm-hmm. And I think particularly here, I mean, that he can damn near make up a reason to take it away mm-hmm. and then say, see, I told you, I gave you everything. You broke my trust. It's a one and done thing. Mm-hmm. How many times has he broken her trust, Chesco? Do you want to guess?
He doesn't have the same rules for himself. He's the provider. Oh, yeah. He's the millionaire. He can do whatever he wants.
Oh, I forgot. Right?
And it's also, I made a YouTube video responding to a guy making this whole claim. It's not the same thing when a man cheats. Right. Because he was not his. The words in the video I responded to on YouTube was he does you. You don't do him or something like that. So if a guy cheats, he's doing something. But if a woman cheats, he's doing her. It was some weird. I forgot the exact words of it, but that was the gist of it, where it's like she's having something done to her versus when a man cheats, he's doing something to somebody else. He's like.
But by that logic, he would be more responsible, right?
You'd think so. But no.
In the situation of like if someone's stabbing or being stabbed, mm-hmm. you would think the culpable one would be the stabber, not the stabby.
But I think that's a great analogy because in his mind, though, it's not about the act. It's about how his brain views the damage, quote unquote,
oh,
right?
Sick.
That's what the mindset is from these guys. Though. It's like, oh, no. The whole damaged goods, the whole impure, is the purity culture bullshit. Again, that's kind of what the mentality is. It's like, no. When I'm doing something, I'm doing the stat. I'm still fine. Even though what I'm doing is, quote unquote, just as bad, I'm not being, quote unquote, harmed. It's the whole lock and key thing. It's all the bullshit analogies they want to do to avoid any accountability.
Oh my God. I'm unsoiled in this event.
I am still pure as a daisy's birth.
It's like, what are you talking about? Honestly. Yeah. Because mm-hmm. it's about being disloyal and betrayal. So like, regardless of who's impacted by it, you still cheated. Why are we even arguing like who's the most quote unquote damaged by it? Like, that's so weird. It doesn't make any sense to me.
The weirdest part of that video, I know we're going off on a tangent here about the other video. He ends it by saying, he was like, but just so we're clear, I'm a religious man and you shouldn't cheat. After making a 5-minute video explaining though, but if I did and you caught me, that's because that's really the key. He's like, I've done it. I have. And it's wrong. You shouldn't cheat. But I know it's happened before. It's going to happen again.
I think she took a video.
Yeah. So let me just get ahead of this and say, if I were to cheat, I haven't, but when you find out that I might have cheated on you, you need to know that I'm against cheating, but it's not the same. But it's not. It's biology, baby.
It's ew. Don't ever say that again. It's biology, baby.
One of the arguments he makes is that because of the fact that men produce so much sperm.
Oh, absolutely not.
Yeah, we're biologically hardwired to spread our seed to as many people as possible. So the idea of monogamy is just, it's hard for our poor little man brains to comprehend.
Does he know how many eggs most women produce? What the fuck are we talking about here?
No, no, no. But in one seed.
He probably doesn't even know. He's like, women have eggs?
What?
What? Do they lay them?
Women aren't chickens.
Do they have nests?
I get protein from my eggs. I don't have babies from them.
Jesco, back up. This train's headed in a bad direction. Okay, this is a random thought. Have you seen or did you ever watch Have I Met Your Mother?
Oh, yes, I have.
Okay. I've
seen every episode. Wait, How I Met Your Mother?
What'd I say?
Have I Met Your Mother? Can I say something that's going to make you really upset?
Yes.
I liked the ending.
Do you like Ted?
No.
Okay, thank God.
But I like the ending. This is super tangential now because I know you're going to get to your point, but I knew this was going to make you, I had to come up at some point. I ended and I was like, I'm very satisfied with that. And then I went online and I was like, oh.
Oh, shit.
I am apparently the sole person on earth who was completely satisfied with how that show wrapped up.
You should write into them. I'm sure they'd appreciate it.
Hey, this might be the first time hearing this. I thought you did a pretty good job. I thought that was exactly how I wanted it to end.
No, you're notorious for loving bad movies, though. Like, you can watch any content and say, yeah, that wasn't so bad.
It's the best example, I think, arguably from, I still feel the same way about it, but it's the best example, I think, of the fact that I like will watch almost anything. Mm-hmm. And if I'm a big enough fan of it, and I've been, how many seasons was that? Sure, like,
too many. 10
years, 11? Yeah. And so at that point, I was so invested in the show that I was going to like it no matter what happened. I was probably going to walk away like, nope, it's great.
Well, so I think Ted is one of the most like notorious nice guys in TV. Mm-hmm. I've talked about him mm-hmm. several times. I think the whole series is from a nice guy's perspective where like everything he does is justified. Because he's doing it in the pursuit of the one. And so we're all just supposed to be like, oh, that's fine. Also, he's talking about these sex stories with his children. But that's a story for another time. But point being, there's this one episode where like the whole thing is like nothing good happens after midnight. And he cheats on his girlfriend with Robin, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm getting from this. Where it's like, oh, after a certain time, bad things happen. It's like, the time of day is irrelevant. The clock doesn't strike midnight and everyone gets naked. Like, it's about choices. What choices did you make up until that point? Mm-hmm. And what choices do you continue to make? And so the time part is so irrelevant. Like, mm-hmm. What changes? Like, nothing. People get more intoxicated, maybe. But other than that, to me, to put a curfew on a woman, like, speaks mm-hmm. volumes about you. Rather mm-hmm. than her. Because what's going to happen? It's not like Cinderella, like reverse Cinderella, you know, where mm-hmm. like midnight strikes, she turns into a harlot. Like,
my pants fell off. If someone slips the wrong way, their penis might fall in me.
She leaves one pant leg on the stairs. My Cinderella.
He's walking around. We need to find the man whose condom this fits on.
Wait, whose condom?
What? Well, it's to find out who she cheated on him with. Because as we know, these condoms are just too tight. I can't wear. You have to find one that fits you properly.
Sick. The worst argument ever.
Oh, it's the stupidest thing. I remember
it was so uncomfortable.
Oh, I can't do this. Why are they talking like that? Can you imagine? Oh, this is so uncomfortable. Oh, God, you ruined the mood. Put three condoms on.
I mean, arguably, like, refusing and trying to pressure a woman to not use protection kills the mood. But, I mean, I luckily didn't have those conversations, but I heard about them, and I was like, what? Because to me, my thought process is this. Like, if a guy's like, gosh, this makes me a little uncomfortable. He's like, okay, well, then you can just not have sex, I guess. Like, is that worse? Is it so uncomfortable you don't have sex? Or are you trying to, then you can just not have sex with a lovely woman. Right. Like, I guess that's the cross you're going to die on, you know? Oh, wait, no, that's not the saying. It's the hill you'll die on or the cross you'll bear, not the cross you'll die on.
You get to be Jesus. If you don't want to have sex without a condom, then you are clearly, the woman is rejecting Jesus and crucifying the man. That is what you just, you heard it from Reagan, everybody. That's how she feels.
That's how they act, though. I guess I have to not bear children, but
yeah, it is. It's so funny. And this is where this always goes back to, I think so many things that I never will understand the neurotypical brain, in this way. Like I remember in high school and, hearing about, you know, diseases and pregnancy and all that. And I was terrified of sex.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It worked. I was the target audience. It was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I can like, and just all of the things I was paying attention. That's my problem. I was paying attention. Right. Yeah. And I was concerned about that. And I was like, no. All right. We got to take every precaution humanly possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I thought the Immaculate Conception was going to come for me. I was terrified.
Yeah. I assumed that the first time I had sex without a condom that I would be, it would just be a baby would be there next month.
Appear.
Would be there. Yeah.
I guess we could go back to what we were talking about, but I just think it's just ridiculous. It's these arbitrary rules that these guys are making up. To me, they're setting up a system that they know someone's going to fail in. Right. Like, I think they purposefully want to set up rules that are going to get broken in some shape or form. And then they can say, well, this is why. This is why I have to control you. This is why you have a curfew. This is why you can't go out with the girls anymore. You're the one who broke the promise. Instead of like acknowledging the fact that you're not her dad.
Mm-hmm. And the whole, it's not that I don't trust you. I just don't trust other men. I know how men work. I know how my mind is. I know how I work. When I'm out, like, she should know that if I'm out past midnight, I'm probably having sex with somebody else.
Guaranteed.
Yeah.
And she should know that.
She should know that. But I'm a millionaire. I'm 6'5" millionaire. So it's to be expected. You get with me. That's the expectation. All right. That's what you get. You sign the papers. No way.
I mean, I feel like that is. I feel like that is the vibe.
But then it's the same guys that will then get upset and be like, I don't get why she cheated. I don't get why my Lamborghini got broken into. Right. I don't get. It doesn't make women. All women. It's weird because like I treat them terribly and I set all these rules. And I cheat on them and I do these, I'm just a horrific person. And then they just keep cheating on me because women are horrible.
They keep leaving me. That's the answer. They're horrible. That's it. That's all we have.
They keep
breaking up.
They ghost me and leave me.
Jonah Hill, for example, which, you know what? I do hold a grudge. I fucking hold a grudge on these men. I don't know these men, but I hold a grudge.
Yes.
He did something similar, like where you set them up for failure. So in this case, I think, like curfew, like people are late all the time. Like there's so many, and nor should there be a curfew, like especially with your friends, like it's hard to get the timing right. Like someone being a little bit late, again, you're not their dad, chill. So I think that he probably knew that was going to go a certain way. But then like Jonah Hill, he said like vague, hard rules that were like, you couldn't be too nice to someone. Well, what does that mean? Like, what does that look like? It's these kind of vague guidelines where the person can insert control and critique. So you're constantly like, okay, well, that was that too nice? Like, oh, I'm not supposed to be too nice with my coworkers. Like, was that flirtatious or was that just being nice? So he can just continuously like wear you down with these subtle little jabs and take away at your confidence because they know they're going to break you that way. And then you think it's your fault. And they'll say crazy things like this guy is saying, which is like, it's really easy. You don't have to do anything. Like, you get to do whatever makes you happy, except going out on a girl's night, because I now say you can't do that. Oh, wait. Wait a second. It's like they will literally make it seem like they're giving you, like, the best life on a, like, a silver platter, when in reality what they're offering you is a life of being absolutely controlled by them. controlled and critiqued.
Because it's this weird dynamic of these guys claim that they want a long-term relationship, right? They claim on paper that they're looking for a wife, right? Because that's also part of the being a man, right? Is finding a wife to bear your seed, right? To start a family with.
But that's seed too many times on this podcast.
You plant a seed and it will grow into a field you will never see. Trees. okay, so my brain is not functional right now. It was going to be a quote from Hamilton, but I butchered it so badly. But anyway, but like theoretically, on paper, you ask every single one of these guys, what do you want? And they're like, well, I want to get married. I want to settle down. I want her, in their mind, she will be at home raising our children. Right, that is what they want. Yet they create these scenarios that make it so that the only person that will stay with them is someone that is not happy. Right, it's not with them as in any sort of a romantic relationship or should be. Right, and I don't want to say, and obviously there's many various forms of romantic relationships that exist in the world. So they create all these elaborate rules to force someone who clearly doesn't like them or wouldn't want to be with them long-term into staying with them longer than they ever would if it was just a normal, traditional relationship. Like, I've never had, like, here, a great example. So, my wife is going to her 20-year high school reunion. Yeah, that's right. Coming up. I was like, what's the math in my, how old am I?
Wait a second.
I was like, that doesn't make any sense. That would mean I'm older than that. That's accurate.
No, that's it.
So my wife is going to her 20-year reunion for high school. She's not from where we live right now. She lives far away. And it's having two disabled kids and traveling across the country and all that goes into that. We decided it's just easier if she just goes on her own. Like, we were trying to figure out a way to make it work where we could go together, but it just wasn't in the cards, right? Never once in the conversation have I been like, hope we're still, she doesn't cheat on me there, right? Never once have I been like, okay, but you got to call me the second you leave that reunion so that I know that you're in your, FaceTime me from your hotel room alone and show me all the closets.
Do a room tour. No men here and no men here.
Just so I know. Like, there's zero, and that's not like a new, that's not just from being married for 15 years, right? That's been us from year one, right? Because when you're in a healthy relationship, and that's the key, is that it's not, you are not constantly worried about setting all of these boundaries, quote unquote, which are really just coercive controlling rules to about them, to keep them from straying, to keep them from leaving you, to keep them from cheating on you. It's just, you just are in a relationship with each other. And it's such a, they don't get that they'll never get the thing that they say they want if they continue to only seek out women as property, that and then having to set all these parameters around them.
But that's the thing. I think they set parameters to break them. Like, I don't even know that they necessarily are afraid of the things they say they are. Like, these men are so arrogant half the time that I don't think it even enters their mind that, like, really they're going to get cheated on. Like, I think their egos, that man's ego is huge. He's getting on a podcast for other men being like, I'm a 6'5 millionaire. I'm not a normie. Like, give me a break. But I think that they purposefully do it because they want to set up this system of, like, breaking a person down so they have a wife that's essentially furniture and a prop to their life. So they want to have the beautiful, doting wife that takes care of the house, takes care of the kids, that makes them look successful. Because, again, half the time these men don't want wives for wives. They want wives to be, essentially housekeepers and then trophies. To say, I'm a good man. I got married and had kids. That's what good men do. So they want the wife that's the furniture, and then they want to have affairs. Because what they do is they break down a woman until she's someone they're not attracted to. And then they cheat. Because, like, you are breaking somebody into a shell of who they are. And then that's when they're like, you've let yourself go. You have no personality. You don't go out anymore. You don't want to hang. It's like, No, you broke her, buddy. And that's what they do, though. They want to have that at home and then have these affairs. And it's like the sickest type of system from these men. It's like, right. At the end of the day, they want to have this control, and then they want to have somebody that they can have fun with, quote unquote, which, you know, mm-hmm. they're almost always having affairs.
Yeah.
And it's just sick. It's like the whole purpose is to break a woman. Like, that's what it is, to mold her into something.
Right. Because it's not, it's always these, it kind of comes back to the same discussion of men, like, okay, this is what it takes to get a woman. You need to be making this much money. You have to be this tall. You have to, et cetera, et cetera. And so they look at these, what they quote unquote have to offer. Mm-hmm. And they try to, like, find – you know, it reminds me of – do you remember that old video? Like, the square piece goes in the square hole. The circle goes in the square hole. The bowl goes in the square hole. Whatever. And that's kind of, like, the idea is that they don't care what shape whatever their pieces will fit with. They just want they know the hole they want to put their piece into.
Yikes!
Which is a very apt metaphor. And they will.
What could it mean, though?
Right, I don't know. But that's the whole point, is they don't want to find what they have to offer would actually be appealing to or fit with. They just want, they find the shape that they want, and they go with that.
Can I share something with you?
Sure.
I just did a video on this. Do you know? Okay, you might know this man. Do you know Michael Porter Jr., MPJ? He plays for the Brooklyn Nets.
Okay. Name sounds familiar.
So he just said something very fucked up on a podcast. So I guess in 2018, he got a 5-year contract that ended up getting him $179.3 million deal for, oof. Yeah. And then there was like other things, incentives or bonus. I don't know. I don't know how sports work, but $200 million is allegedly what he's right. valued at. So he gets on this podcast. Now the podcast is Justin LaBoy, who I don't know who that is either. It's Justin LaBoy's podcast, which is hashtag respectfully, the respectfully podcast. And he decides to brag about one of his past relationships. He really wanted to talk about his ex, which, like, of all the things in the world to talk about, you got to talk about your ex. Okay. Grown man, but all right. So he tells a story about how he was dating this woman and she needed to get a new apartment. And so he takes her to look at apartments and he's showing her apartments that she can't afford. And she says, like, I can't afford these. Like, there's just right. no way. And he's like, it's fine. It's fine. Look, you know, and he says he likes to provide for women. You know, he likes to mm-hmm. provide for the women he dates. So he said, I'll pay half. And the problem is it's like a year lease. And so she's, right. you know, obviously like, okay, year lease though, like mm-hmm. that could go bad. And he tells her, no, I got you. Like, no matter what, I will help you pay for this year lease, like whether we break up or not. Mm-hmm. Isn't that so kind and generous, Chesco? What could go wrong?
Mm-hmm.
You can already tell where this is going.
Yeah, I'm going to hear it.
So you're like, what? Tell me the bad stuff.
Tell me.
So then, of course, 5 to 6 months into this lease, they break up. And I think they were together like grand total of like a year and a half. So that's like a long time where you should, you know, care about someone. So they break up, right? And he calls it, she hits up his phone for the bread.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning the money, which he's like, I can understand that, which I'm like, yeah, no shit, dude. Like, she's in a lease, a legally binding lease that she can't pay. So of course she hits you up for the money you've promised her.
Right.
And the guys, he's like, yeah, he's going to pay, but he's not going to send over a lump sum. Mm-hmm. And he's bragging that I'm not going to just send her the money. This is what he says. Okay. Quote, that she has to act right month to month. So he only gives her the money if he decides that she's been acting right. This woman that is not his, that is mm-hmm. literally his ex. And quote, if I see her wildin', it's going to be hard to keep that agreement. So basically, if I don't like what you're doing, I know I promised that I'd pay for you, but I may not be paying for your lease if I don't like your behavior. And then he said, if you're out here wildin', get the next dude to pay the rent. Thoughts?
I mean, it's I think the issue is the, once again, the idea that if you break up, you should have any say whatsoever about what your ex-partner is doing with their life. Obviously that is problematic. I can't, what I'm having trouble with is like admitting this on a podcast, thinking it was like a look what I did.
Yes.
To
yes.
Like, because it makes you think nobody, and this I think gets to the heart of what is so problematic with so many things in our society. He's told this story before. Yes. And the reaction has been, yeah, you got her. Like, it's
you
been,
show her.
You showed, yeah, you, she shouldn't get this thing you promised, that you explicitly said and just admitted to that you said
publicly
on this thing. You should do this X, Y, and Z because of what goes into that. And nobody ever says shit when they hear one of their friends saying something really problematic. Like that's always, I have so many stories where of growing up, and it's not, this is not me doing anything extraordinary. This should be the baseline of what human beings do. Just as if it's when people are like, that's my dad. He's a bit racist, right? Oh, he says horrible things, right? Jesus. Oh, that's so-and-so. He just, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, or, you know, right. Put a shirt, like there's somebody, another really more horrific thing. Like, oh, go put a sweatshirt on. Your uncle's coming over.
Sick.
Like those kind of weird, creepy things. Yes. It's speak the fuck up, right?
Yeah.
If you hear somebody, whether it's your, but I don't care if it makes that moment uncomfortable, right? Because that's what's happening by him admitting this is that it's a cycle of things where nobody has said shit while you're doing the terrible thing or the obviously there's different levels of terrible that are going on here. But there's so many examples you can think of where somebody will do and say over and over, and people are so afraid of making it uncomfortable or ruining a friendship. Or if it's like a friend of yours that has $200 million of losing access to that friendship, right? That's more important to you than actually holding them in check and saying, hey, that's really fucked up. Like, what? Why would you do that? Why would you think that's okay to do?
I mean, it's financial abuse. Like, that's what it is.
Right.
And it happens all the time. Like, men who have power or have money will make promises to women when they're in, you know, in their good favors. Or like, you know, I had a friend of mine from high school. She's a recording artist from Nashville now. And she's had this guy who she wasn't even dating him. He was just like a producer that was like around, and mm-hmm. he like did an album for her and was like, yeah, let's do it together. You know, let me help you out. And she was like so grateful. And then he pulled the move on her, this much, much older producer. Mm-hmm. And she was like, no. And all of a sudden he sends her the bill, mm-hmm. which is thousands of dollars, saying, I own your music unless you pay me. Which is
she
her
talked
livelihood
about that on
and
your
art.
On your other podcast,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so it's like, it's horrifying. Like again, like he gave her all this stuff when he was trying to woo her, and then the second he knew he couldn't get with her, he's going to punish her with the same power.
Right.
And it's scary, like to see how these men manipulate their wealth. Like, mm-hmm. First of all, get it in writing, everybody. Like any deals, like get it all in writing, because they'll make you promises and they'll seem like the nicest guy, and then the second that mm-hmm. you go against them, that's the shit that they pull. She's in a horrible position where mm-hmm. she could lose her house and break her lease. Like, there are legal ramifications for that. And mm-hmm. he might even be on the lease as well. I'm not sure. But, like, this idea that, well, guess what? We broke up. Now I get to decide how you act.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are getting with other men or I catch you acting a certain way with other guys, I'm pulling the money I'm going to give you. Like, I can't imagine the stress this woman has to feel. Like, she's still mm-hmm. being controlled by her ex. And, like, that is what men do with power sometimes. And it's really scary.
And I think that really connects back to the crux of what we're talking about. Like, you don't do that to somebody that you ever cared about.
Right.
Right. You know what I mean? Like, if you truly, I've mentioned this on the podcast before, like, everyone I've ever been in a relationship with, I don't want bad things to happen to, right? I have nobody that, and I'm lucky in that regard. Like, I know there are legitimate reasons to have an ex that you think is horrible, but literally every single person I've ever dated, I want good things to happen to, Right. Yeah. I want to see them that I hope they find love. I hope they find all sorts of the same happiness I found in my own life because they were a good person. We just didn't match. Right. And if that's the case, if you seek out relationships with people that you like, as opposed to people that you think other men will be impressed by, or other people, we can even say, you could even genderless in this regard, then you don't end up getting in situations where you think it's okay to financially abuse them afterwards, to, or even like, you know, that you think of like the more extreme horrific things like revenge porn, right? And oh, things God. Like that, where all of those, if you don't view them as a human, it's much easier to fall into those. That if you don't view them as an equal human, right. as somebody that you like, then it's much easier to fall into these really dark post-relationship things because, oh, they're just a thing that you dated. They're just an object that you used to own in the same way that and I don't care what happens to an old car that I used to own, right? I don't care about those sort of things, but the things I actually do care about do still have value, right? And be the next person you're with, once again, if they're a good person, won't care that you don't hate your exes. Right. You know, I hate to use overarching like universal truths because there might be trauma involved that might make somebody like a little bit more hesitant to trust if you actually do have good relationships with your people you've dated and things like that. But in general, you shouldn't be going somewhere and bragging about abusing somebody, and you wouldn't do that if you viewed them as a equal person and another human being, as somebody worthy of respect and dignity.
And I think this really points out something that, like, I know we've talked about and I try to talk about a lot, which red pillars refuse to understand because, you know, they're always like, oh, remember we did the episode and there was like, you get yachts. You're always on yachts. Women can just get on any yacht they want. They get money thrown at them and paid vacations. I'm like, well, where was mine? But
yeah,
that's the idea. And I always want to bring up the fact that, like, there are always strings attached. They're not doing that for her and for her benefit and because they really care about her, like you might think. They're doing it because they want something from her. And the same way they extend these things, they can take them away. They can make a woman dependent and then they can remove all of these things that they've given them. Like, you know, you think things are gifts, but they can be revoked. Like, that's how these men operate. They'll act like that they're giving it. And then the second that it doesn't go their way, they're like, well, that's not yours. That's mine. Mm-hmm. I've had exes do that to me. Like, stupid shit. Like, I had an ex who gave me a keyboard. And I think it was like Rock Band or something. Like, God, help me, Chesco, help me. And he took it back and he's like, that was not a gift. That I was loaning that to you. I mean, if men can do that with Rock Band, what are they going to do with money? You know, what are they going to do with cars? Like, it's just a means of control, and the ways that it can be abused are very scary. So it's like just because a man has more money, that sometimes, like, it doesn't mean that he's going to treat you right. It can also mean that he has more to weaponize against you and more ways to lure you in. But again, it's not to benefit you. Like, it's never to benefit the woman. It's to benefit themselves, to look good. Because it wasn't he a baller? Didn't he feel like a great boyfriend when he did it for her, got her that apartment? He probably got a lot of praise and whatever else. But now he's like, oh, you're not giving me what I want? You can't date other men. How about that? How about I take your apartment from you? How about you have, like, you're going to have bad credit after this?
Because that's really what he meant by that, too. It's not even like, oh, you can't go out and, I can't even imagine, like, do something, like, really wild, right? It's right. No, you're not allowed to have a life. If you just check that you're going to then, I'm going to ruin your credit, which in today's day and age is actually a pretty big threat, right? The amount it can harm you for years and years going forward after that. Or you can just, be in penance as your punishment for possibly even me breaking up with you.
Yeah.
Right. It's very possible. It could have been. Yeah. But he was like, how dare you hold me accountable for treating you like shit?
To his own word, though, that's the craziest part. Like, you are the one that said you were going to do that. And, like, I've had that happen so many times where it's like guys will promise something or say they're going to do something, and then you call them on it, and you're like, Wait, you broke, you said you're going to do it. Now you're not going to do it. Like, well, that's because you did blank. So I shouldn't have to fulfill my promise. I shouldn't have to keep my word.
I said that when I thought there was a chance we might date one day.
I was trying to sleep with you, dummy.
Yeah, do you not understand? Did you not pick up on that? There was nothing genuine about our friendship, idiot.
But they'll feel justified. They really will. Like, I don't think he, like, again, if you felt any guilt, you would not be bragging on a podcast. He thinks that makes him look good. Like, he thinks that makes him cool. Mm-hmm. To, like, financially abuse his ex.
Mm-hmm.
With, like, telling the boys all about it. Like, that's scary.
The only reason you would go on to, as it going back to what I said, on a podcast and share that, is because the reaction was like, yeah, you got her. Hell yeah.
I mean, I think that's true. Like, how many men would do that if they could do that? Like, mm-hmm. I have never been financially dependent on a man.
Mm-hmm.
I guess my dad at one point, I was a child. But, you know, I have never been in that situation. I think it's terrifying. Mm-hmm. But I think about some of the guys that I dated, and they absolutely would have. I told you they took, mm-hmm. he took Rock Band back. Like, mm-hmm. I can't imagine if I would have, like, been living with him,
mm-hmm.
or, like, had any been in on any financial endeavor, or, like, owned anything together. Like, mm-hmm. what he could have done and how he could have weaponized that. So I'm sure a lot of guys are, like, wishing they could. There was mm-hmm. There's a quote from Halsey where she's talking about, I think I've mentioned it before, but how women want power so that they won't be abused, and men want power in order to abuse it.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously not all men, but I think that's really profound, because I think a lot of men do wish they had money to mm-hmm. do shit like this,
mm-hmm.
so that they could keep women that don't want to be with them, mm-hmm. and that they could keep women in check, just like the first one, which is like, I give you all this money and stuff, so I get to tell you when you come home. Mm-hmm. And if I don't like something you did, I get to then say, you don't get girls' nights anymore, which, like, how are the two even, like, you broke curfew turns into you cannot go out at night with women? Like,
right. Ever again.
What?
That's your one chance.
Yeah. Again, mm-hmm. I think they make rules to be broken.
Mm-hmm.
And then they blame you and say, I gave you the world, mm-hmm. and look what you did.
Mm-hmm. So no matter what happens, it's always her fault.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Why did you make me do that to you? Mm-hmm. Oh, what a shame. I still think the first guy's a liar. I can't prove it. Hey, is his name Dokes? The guy from Dexter? There's all these, do you know what I'm talking about?
I never seen Dexter. I know.
I think it's Officer Dokes. Let me check. Hold on. Yeah, it's James Dokes. Okay. Where he's like, because he knows something's up with Dexter, like the whole series, and he's trying to prove it. There's this meme where he's in the car, and it's like, I know it's blank, but I just can't prove it. That's how I feel. I am Dokes at the wheel, saying, I know this man's not as rich as he says. I just can't prove it.
real quick, because it's going to be, I always mix up Dexter with Chuck. I know it's not anywhere near the same thing. And I know Zachary Leo is a terrible person now.
I've never seen it, so I don't know it.
Yeah.
But I can't stand that man. He said some crazy shit recently.
Yeah, it's upsetting because I really loved Chuck. I thought the show was great.
He was like, he's a little alt-righty.
Yeah.
But he also was like, he was so diehard about his Shazam movies.
Yeah.
And like how it's everybody else's fault. And like, I'm like, bro, stop it.
Yeah.
Stop. Yeah. Anyways, we don't need to. I'm sure there's horrible. You can look up online. He has horrible quotes.
He's a big RFK guy.
Oh, is he?
Oh, he's a big RFK guy. That was my first. I was like, God damn it. You ruined Chuck. And Shazam. I like Shazam comics too. So you.
Oh,
bastard.
I know. You son of a bitch. I mean, he does. He has like Peter Panny syndrome energy. Yeah. Like,
but how dare you choose projects that I enjoy and now I associate them with you?
No. Like, anytime I see guys with that energy, there's a couple, I'm like, I don't like. He reminds me of like Dax Shepard, who I don't like. That might be that's a hot take, probably. I don't like some of the things he said. He also, you know, like.
No, Dax is really probably the whole. He had a whole transphobic bullshit episode with JVN.
He's been doing shit.
No, fuck Dax Shepard. I am on record as being very like against Dax Shepard. Yeah.
I had his fans review bomb me.
Yeah.
Because I dared to quote him. He has some really problematic quotes about like age gap relationships. Mm-hmm. He dated one of the Olsons when she was like 18 and he was like fully a grown man. And be like, she basically was older than I was. Was she?
On the surface, I think I feel like I like Kristen Bell.
Yeah,
but like, when you're like with somebody like that, and I don't want to judge somebody by their partner, you know what I mean? But they seem to really be in love. And it makes me question things, you know?
I'll give you a tidbit of information that I think is revealing. Mm-hmm. He is on record saying he had to decide if he wanted to date her, if she was the type he wanted to date. Okay. Because she's the type of person that would stop if she saw like a dog on the side of the road. Mm-hmm. And so when they first got together, he was more famous than she was.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, there's a lot of great quotes, I'm sure, of him talking about her, but there's a lot of interesting quotes like mm-hmm. that one where he's like, mm-hmm. I didn't even know if I wanted to be with her. I had to think about it. I'm like,
I think I remember hearing that. I think I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
What? Have you met her?
Just from on the surface, she seems so out of his league.
That's what I'm saying.
In every way. Not just like looks. Like looks wise can be many things. But just from every surface level thing that I have seen, talent wise, everything is just, it seems like he definitely married way up.
These are just our opinions. Please don't come at us over Dax Shepard and Kristen Bell. Please. I do not. Men who give off that Peter Pan energy where it's like, I'm so cute and quirky and funny, but like never grow up mm-hmm. and want to keep it up and still think it's cute when they're like mm-hmm. 40.
Mm-hmm.
I immediately am like, I got questions. What are your views exactly? And obviously Zachary would have a few I don't agree with.
Yeah.
But that's it on men. And their boundaries.
Yeah.
We had a lot of shots at famous men tonight.
We did.
Zachary Levi, Dax Shepard.
Jonah Hill,
whatever, NBA. I did not
Michael
know
Porter Jr., yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I did not know. I was like, I probably should. I don't. Sorry. What's the Keke Palmer? She's like, apologies to this man. I do not know this man. It was Dick Cheney, which makes me laugh so hard. That's the photo she couldn't recognize.
Yeah.
That was something.
That was an episode. We were all over the place. Today, this is one of our, I think we say that a lot, though. We're like, this is not like our normal episodes.
No,
which are completely cohesive and
flawless. I actually do think, though, not having a pre-show did a number on us.
It definitely threw us off a bit.
Yeah. Usually we get our weird out.
Yeah.
And today we were in full effect. So, reminder, if you'd like to see the failed intro into a video that was clearly fake, please watch the Patreon. It is very funny to me. Maybe not to Chesco. Make sure to check out our socials. Other than
links in bio. We love you all.
Love you guys. Bye.
Good day.